18 this morning. Luke chapter 18, we'll begin in verse number 9, read down through verse 14. A very familiar parable that the Lord speaks here in these verses, Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse number 9. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this morning. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God that is able, Father, to teach us and instruct us in such great richness. Lord, this small, short parable that's recorded in these few verses, God, so full of power and truth and reality. God, there's nothing like your Word to feed our souls, to give us that which we need to strengthen us, Father, to help us to see ourselves and Father, to judge ourselves. And I pray, Father, you'd use this passage this morning to help us to see the difference between religion and faith. Father, see the difference between this Pharisee and this publican. God, know that we have saving faith because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did. Father, we pray you deliver us from self-righteousness. God, we pray as we consider these verses this morning that you would speak to our hearts in a way that only you can. Examine us. Father, draw us closer to yourself. Help us to build a better relationship and a closer relationship with you, and help us, Father, be conformed more into the image of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Should there be someone today that does not find themselves justified as this publican did, Father, may they recognize what they need, and that is to call out you for mercy. Father, we pray you'd speak to hearts in a way that only you can. For that which you do, we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen. It's a wonderful thing that we have four Gospels in the New Testament. Sometimes when we think about reading through Matthew and then Mark and then Luke and John, we think sometimes, why did God take four different authors and write the same things? But really, when you boil it down to it, there are very few events of which all four Gospel writers wrote. The crucifixion is recorded by all four of them. Outside of that, there are very few events that all four Gospel writers focus on the same thing. Many of the stories are covered by, or some of the stories are covered by three of the four, but not all four. Some are covered by two of the four. We think of the birth of Christ at this time of the year, recorded by Matthew and Luke, but not Mark and John. And then many of the stories recorded are recorded by one of the gospel authors and not the other three. Especially in the Gospel of John, the miracles recorded in the Gospel of John are specific to his gospel alone and not repeated in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. We have a story this morning in Luke chapter 18 that is recorded only in Luke's gospel. And so it is a wonderful thing that God has put together the four different gospel accounts so that we can get the entirety of what we need to know about the life and the ministry and the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can't spend too much time on his life. And the four gospels are dedicated to that, and they fill in the gaps and put all the information together for you and I to get a complete picture. And thankfully, we get this story that's recorded by Luke in his gospel in chapter 18 about the two men that went up into the temple to pray. This morning, we're going to see, first of all, in verse 9, the purpose of this parable, why it is that the Lord told it. Then we're going to see in verse 10 through 13, the prayers in the parable. The prayer, first of all, of the Pharisee, then the prayer of the publican. And then lastly, in verse 14, we're going to see the proclamation after the parable. What Jesus Christ said the moral of the story is, basically, or the point of the whole parable as he's told it. Notice, if you would, in verse number 9, Jesus said, that he spoke this parable unto them which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. What a picture of self-righteousness. They trusted in themselves. Do you know somebody like that this morning? They're a relative, a friend, someone at work that they think their own righteousness is going to save them. That doesn't catch God by surprise. That's why he recorded in the Bible several times over that man cannot survive by his own righteousness. All our righteousness are as unclean things. They're as filthy rags. All right? Not by works of righteousness which we have done. God specified that because he knew there were many that by their nature and by their design were going to trust in their own righteousness. And the Lord, the purpose of giving this parable is for people to recognize that their own self-righteousness is not going to get them justified in the eyes of God. That no matter how big and grandiose their plans and their service and their dedication and their sacrifice in this life might be, that those things done on the basis of self-elevation are not going to impress God one iota. And the Lord said here that the purpose, he's telling this story, a double purpose. First of all, that they would realize that they were trusting in themselves that they were righteous. Really, that's what religion is all about. Religion has been designed by man to fulfill their own righteousness. That's why we don't often use, in terms of our Christianity, the word religion. Because religion is a self-serving thing. Religion is making yourself look good in the eyes of other people, thinking that makes you look good in the eyes of God. And this story is the greatest rebuke in all the Bible to that sort of a religion. This Pharisee had that. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you a parable because I want you to recognize that you're trusting in yourselves that you are righteous. And not only that, but it led to step number 2 in verse number 9, and despised others. I want you to make note of that word others, because when we get to the proclamation after the parable in verse number 14, the Lord's going to take that very word that these religious people, the Pharisees, used to look down upon others. He despised others. The Lord's going to use that word other to refer to them in their self-righteousness. The Lord has a very tricky way of having people's words come back to them. And here we find that he said the purpose of this parable is to reach those that are trusting in themselves that they are righteous and those that despise others, that think their way is better than somebody else's way. You know, I don't think that Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I don't think he's better than somebody else's way. I think he's the only way. Now I know that by faith in him, it's the only way to get to heaven. But this isn't a battle of religions. This isn't Jesus against Muhammad or against Allah or against Buddhism or Hinduism. This is the fact that Jesus Christ alone can save. And that doesn't flare up in us any self-righteousness because it's not about us. People who believe their religion can save them are all about their religion. They're all about the form of their worship. They're all about the ceremonies that get them in a right standing with God, so to speak. And you and I know that when it comes to Jesus Christ, there can be different forms. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. People in America might not worship the Lord Jesus Christ the same way as somebody in a foreign country does as far as the tradition of their church service. But it's the same Jesus Christ that's able to save regardless of the tradition or the culture or the language that it's in. It's only by grace through faith. And this man despised others that didn't do the same things he did. He put himself on a higher plane, a higher level, a higher thing. You know, you and I that have faith in Christ, it comes from humility. That's what verse 14 is going to tell us. And at the same time, that humility reaches every aspect of our life. We don't think we're better than other people. That's why we're going to heaven. This Pharisee did. He said, I thank God that I'm not like this publican. I'm not like other men are, extortioners, adulterers, or even this publican. See, religion makes you think higher of yourself than you ought to think and lower of other people than you ought to think. Where biblical Christianity makes you think low of yourself and higher of others. And so we find here the purpose of the parable was to get people to realize they were trusting in themselves that they are righteous and they despised others. You know, a religious person that despises others has no peace, has no joy, has no happiness. They've got to prove that their religion is the best religion. They've got to prove that their religion is the right thing. You know, I don't need to prove anything. I know that Jesus Christ is in my heart by faith and I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. Somebody says, well, I believe this or that. Help yourself. It's a free country. I'm not going to fight about it. I'm not going to get upset about it. You're free to believe anything you want to. But I know my Redeemer liveth. And I know that I shall see Him in that day. And so there's no battle. There's no despising others. There's no self-righteousness. The purpose of that parable. Notice these two men in verse 10, it says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. As we look at the prayers of these two men, we find that they went to the temple to pray. Now, they did not go together. They just were there at the same time. And as they're there to pray, we find out that the prayers that they pray indicate their heart's condition. The prayers that they pray show what is within them. You need to pray from your heart. You need to pray from what's within you. You don't need a prayer that's, you know, they got these little books, you know, at Thanksgiving, pray this prayer, at Christmas, pray this prayer, and when in need, pray this prayer. And you know, if you're a young Christian, if you're a baby Christian, and you need some help in those things, I guess, you know, that's what it's for. But if you're mature in the faith, if you've grown up past repeating things that you hear, and you're to the point where you're mature in your faith and you can pray from your heart will indicate your faith in Jesus Christ. Your heart will indicate. We're going to find out by this Pharisee's prayer what was in his heart. You know what was in his heart? He was full of himself. You know what was in the publican's heart? God. And his own unworthiness. And his own lack of self-righteousness. These two men. The Pharisee, of course, we recognize. We find him throughout Scripture. Him or groups of them. They were known for their lack of devotion. They adhered to the law of Moses, but it was simply a law of writing, a law of codes, a law of rules, a law of ethics. It was not a law that came from the heart. It was not anything that came from a sincere desire. It was a proof to other people that they were righteous. And this Pharisee was a religious man. The publican is a common term that was used in the New Testament for tax collector. And they were thought of as the worst of the worst. They were the ones that might be Jewish by birth, but they were working for the Roman government and were extorting things. Maybe that's why this fellow said extortioners. They were extorting from their own people. That was the view of the Jewish person from them. They were not allowed to enter into the synagogue. They were not allowed to have part of the worship. This Pharisee is standing afar off because he's not allowed to the part of the temple where he's welcome into the inner circle. Because of his life, because of his occupation, because of who he is, he's the worst of sinners as far as man is concerned. And these two men come into the temple to pray, and we notice the prayer of them. First of all, the Pharisee's prayer in verse 11 and 12. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Don't you love the way the Bible describes things? He prayed thus with himself. His prayer wasn't getting any higher than the top of his head. He was talking to himself because God sure wasn't paying attention to him. And it says he prayed with himself, God, I thank Thee. You know, if he'd have stopped right there, that would have been a great prayer. If he'd have said, God, I thank Thee, and that was it, and he'd say, in Jesus' name, amen. He'd have been in good shape. But it's the rest of the words that got him in trouble. If he hadn't just carried on, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners. Unjust. Can you hear the tone in his voice? I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are. Extortioners. Unjust. Adulterers. Or even this publican. You can just hear his self-righteousness in the words as you read them. And his despising, as the Lord said, his despising of others. None others could be as good as he is. None other could be as righteous as he is. None other could be as religious as he is. He is the example. He is the one. He is the shining star. And all others around him ought to look to him as an example of what faith and religion is all about. And he prays his prayer. You know what the problem with him is? He was deluded. He was deluded about prayer. He prayed thus with himself. He didn't realize that prayer is talking to God. Now, he knew the fact of that. But he didn't realize. You know, sometimes you and I forget that when we're praying, we're talking to God. Sometimes we forget we can't snowball Him. Sometimes we forget what we're saying He sees right through. He knows everything. We get down and we, you know, a lot of times I get down praying, I start saying things and say, God, why am I saying this? You know all this. But He still wants us to come to Him. He still wants us to talk to Him. He still wants us to pray to Him. But God forbid we should ever get down on our knees and pray to God and be full of ourselves. The first thing we need to ask God when we pray is, God, put me out of the picture. God, take me away. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Remember the prodigal? And so this Pharisee with that alter ego being deluded about prayer starts out by saying, God, I thank Thee, and then ruins it by praying thus with himself. He glorifies what he thinks he is. I'm not as other men are. Oh, yes, you are. You're a hypocrite. You're ungodly. It might not show. Your outward show might be a lot better and a lot more impressive to men than what other people show, but you're just like everybody else. Man, because of the pride in his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. That's what the Lord said in Psalms. You are just like everybody else. You are. He said, I'm not an extortioner. You know, we read about the Pharisees being unjust to the widows and to the orphans. He was an extortioner. He says, not adulterers. We remember the case in John chapter 8 where they bring the woman before the Lord and they caught her in the very act of adultery. What were they doing around when that happened? Unless somehow they were involved in the whole plot of the whole thing. The Lord said, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after in his heart hath committed adultery already. All right, he's saying, I'm not these things, when in truth and reality, he is. I'm not like this publican. Oh, yes, you are. You're a sinner in need of salvation. You're a lost one in need of direction. He didn't realize he was deluded about what he is. He was deluded about what he does. He said in verse number 12, I fast twice in the week. You know, there's a lot of religious people like that today. They think that the things they do are going to impress God. They think that their prayers and their fastings and their almsgiving and their outward show of religion are going to impress God. And they're going to get into heaven, because when they show up at St. Peter's gate, as it were, Peter's going to be so impressed with the life they live that he's going to throw the gate open and welcome them in. It has nothing to do with faith in Christ in that regard. It has nothing to do with his sacrificial death on Calvary, if that's what it takes to get into heaven. This Pharisee stood up and said, I fast twice in a week. You know, the law didn't require him to do that. The law required him to fast once a month. But he was trying to impress everybody around him with the fact that he fasted twice in 1 week. He went above and beyond the call of duty. He was a dedicated, devoted, religious man. And he wanted everybody around him to know it. He was deluded about prayer. He gloried in what he gives. He said in verse number 12, I give tithes of all that I possess. You know, that wasn't required by the law either. Not of everything he possessed. Of everything that came in, of those things that came into him, a tithe was required of several things, but not of everything. Again, he's boasting of his exceeding the law, doing more than the law required. And his boasting of those things made him a deluded Pharisee. You know, there are people today. Here's a Pharisee that's boasting on the fact that he exceeded the law, and it's going to end up he doesn't get into heaven. There are people today that think by merely keeping the law, they're going to get into heaven. You know, you need to tell them, you need to turn to Luke chapter 18 and say, here's a man that exceeded the law, that went beyond what you're doing, that made what you're doing look wicked and ungodly, because his righteousness exceeded what the law required of him. And you know what happened in this parable? The Lord said he went away without being justified. And so those that are trusting in their righteousness by keeping the law right now, not even exceeding it. That's why the Lord said, unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Why? Because theirs exceeded the requirements of the law. And so, in other words, the law is not sufficient to save. You've got to exceed that like the Pharisees did And yet that wasn't good enough to save. You've got to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Can I tell you this? You can't do that. You can't exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. It's only by faith in Jesus Christ. The prayer of the Pharisee, deluded about prayer, deluded about himself, like many modern-day church people are. Well, I sing in the choir. Well, I got baptized. How many times do you hear that? That just makes me nervous. You ask somebody, are you saved? Yes, I am. Well, that's great. What are you trusting in to get you to heaven? Well, when I was 13 years old, I got baptized. Folks, baptism doesn't get you into heaven. Baptism gets you wet. And there are self-deluded people, well-intentioned people, good, trusting people that think that something other than faith in Christ is going to get them into heaven. Their baptism, their membership, their works, their giving. Grandpa went to this church. Grandpa built this building. Now, I'm glad nobody here can claim that. But there are places out there where Grandpa donated the piano and Grandma gave the songbooks and Grandpa donated the property, and they think on the basis of those things, God's going to give them the merit to get into heaven. It doesn't come by anything, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us. We can't trust in anything but the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You know, that does lead to a big predicament as far as you and I are concerned. Because we'll meet somebody that say, are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. Are you trusting the shed blood of Jesus Christ to wash away your sins? Yes, I am. But I also had to do this or do that. You've got to speak in tongues. Well, if you're trusting faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ plus the necessity of speaking in tongues, you're trusting in something other than Jesus Christ. And that doesn't get in there. You say, yeah, but they're trusting the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, but they're adding something to it. I'm trusting the shed blood of Jesus Christ plus my baptism. I get nervous about that because I'm thinking, all right, you're trusting the right thing, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, but you're adding something to it. And anytime you add something to it, you eliminate that you're trusting in Christ alone as your Savior, and you're in dangerous ground because you're trusting in self-righteousness, a deed of the flesh. This Pharisee was deluded about himself. He was also deluded about the publican. You know what most people do to prove their goodness? They'll point out the unrighteousness of somebody else. You ever knocked on somebody's door? Let me ask you this. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? Well, I'm better than some people. You know what they're doing? They're being just like the Pharisee. They're pointing at the others. They're despising others. Well, I'm better than my neighbor. Let me tell you about my neighbor. Let me tell you what he does. I'm better than him. No, you're not. You've got the same nature inside of you, and you've got the same lack of control. Your sins might be different from him, but you're not any better than he is. This Pharisee said, I thank God that I'm not like the others. He is like the others. I'm not like this publican. He is like that publican. The only difference is the publican's sins are outward where man can see it, and his are inward where he's got them covered and hidden. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This Pharisee is deluded about everything in his prayer. There's no sincerity there. There's nothing that honors God. In fact, you notice, if you circle the letter I, you'll find it five times in these two verses. I thank thee that I am not as others. Verse 12, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. That was his problem. His problem was he was focused on I, self-righteousness, his own merit. You know, there are people going to church this morning that think that their faithfulness to attendance in church is going to get them merit and get them into heaven. And they don't recognize that Jesus Christ died on Calvary because they couldn't do it on their own and they couldn't do it by themselves. And sad to say, there are pulpits in this town, in this county, in this state, and in this country, and in this world that are telling people that by their faithful attendance and by their faithful service and by their faithful giving, they are going to earn themselves a way into heaven. When you consider those things, it's not so hard to understand the Lord saying, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. We like to think, all those that are forsaking the church on Sunday morning are going to hell. There's a lot of those that are not forsaking the church this morning. There are a lot of those that got up and dressed and came and attended today that have that same problem because they're trusting in their righteousness. The prayer of the Pharisee. Look at verse 13. What a contrast. There could be no greater contrast. Verse 13, the prayer of the publican. And the publican, it says in verse 13, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. The difference in the approach of both of these men, the Pharisee standing there proudly before everyone and proclaiming his righteousness. The publican standing afar off with his head bowed would not so much as look up at the heaven but smote upon his breast. That's an indication of his repentance, his unworthiness as he pounded his chest, as he recognized as he stood there praying before God how wicked and how ungodly and how lost his condition was. And notice what he prayed. In verse number 13, he said, God. He was praying in the right direction. His head might have been bowed, but his words were going in the right direction. He was telling the only person that could take care of the need he had. He was going to the only one that could forgive his sins and save his soul. You know, we live in a sad day where people go to so many different things to try to find happiness and satisfaction for their soul. Entertainment, worldliness, whatever it might be. And there's some things in this world you and I have been given freely to enjoy. So I'm not telling us all we need to be monks in the monastery of our house and seek no worldly pleasure. You can go out and do some things in this life that are completely fine with God. But there are some that are just living for those things because they cannot find happiness anywhere else. There are some that are looking for satisfaction in the material things of this life and working the long hours and the troubled hours just so they can pile up and pile, not just to meet the need, but to pile up and to pile up and to pile up, thinking that's going to bring them happiness. And if you've ever read the stories of the richest men that have ever lived, you come to the same conclusion every time. They're not happy. There are people that are looking for the things they long for in different people. I read a book this week, and someone was talking about going to shrinks. And they said, you'd have to be crazy to go to a shrink. An old joke, I guess, I'd never heard before. But people are going everywhere and everything and searching and turning over rocks trying to find things that come in the Lord Jesus Christ. The peace that passes all understanding, the comfort that He gives the heart, the peace that He gives the soul, the relaxation that His Word can give to you and I. And here this publican, with all the different things, just turned and says simply, God. He prayed in the right direction. He said, God, be merciful to me. He made the right request. God, be merciful to me. He had nothing to brag about. He had nothing to boast of. He had no righteousness to offer up to his God. It's much like Cain and Abel back at the altar in Genesis, where Abel came with the flock from the lamb from his flock, something he did not create, he did not make. While the other fellow Cain came with the best that his hands could produce, and the bright colors and all the things that he had planted and he had pruned and he had raised and he had harvested and he had brought. This publican, much like Abel, just simply came and said, I've got nothing to offer. I've got nothing of my own that I can give. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, when salvation comes, when we recognize there's nothing we can do that will please God. And that's where religion is so damnable. Because religion teaches there is something you can do to please God. Now, we're not talking about after salvation. After salvation, we know that there are many things we can do to please God. But it's still not our righteousness. It's only the new nature given to us that allows us to do things that are glorifying to our Father. But before salvation, religion offers absolutely nothing but a false hope in self-righteousness. This publican falls down or smotes upon his breast and says, God, be merciful to me. What every lost sinner needs to call out to God for is mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. When you speak to someone and you talk to them about the need for Christ and say, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, until they get that fact under wraps that they are a sinner without hope, they cannot trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. You've got to get them lost before they can get saved. They've got to recognize their need before they're going to trust anything else. If you walk into their house and they've got this little altar with candles burning and the picture of loved ones that have gone on before them, and they've got this thing and that's their form of religion and their righteousness and all these kind of things, until you can get them to realize that they're lost without Christ and on their way to hell, they'll never get saved because they think something else can get them into heaven. This publican says, God, be merciful to me. He had the right direction, the right request. And he had the right confession. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, if you're saved, you've got no problem with that word. If you've trusted Jesus, I got no problem with somebody saying, Leafly, you're a sinner. Say amen. It doesn't make me nervous. I'm not going to back off. Thank God I'm a saved sinner. But I still recognize what I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace, but still a sinner. And those that do not recognize or acknowledge the fact that they're sinners cannot get saved. Because you've got to recognize why Jesus Christ did what he did and accept what he did before you can be born again into the kingdom of God. This publican made the right confession by saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The purpose in the parable, verse 9. The prayers in the parable, verse 10 to 13. And then lastly, in verse 14, the proclamation after the parable. Notice what the Lord said. To summarize in verse 14, I tell you, this man, speaking of the publican, this man, the last one mentioned, went down to his house justified rather than who? The other. Notice he didn't say the Pharisee. He said the other. Why? Because that was the big thing with that Pharisee. I'm not as other men are. And so the Lord said, this man, the publican, went home justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This publican went down to his house justified. You know what this parable tells us? How to be justified. How to be justified. Not by being filled with self-righteousness, but by humbling ourselves before God and knowing that we're sinners. You know what justified means? Justified means declared righteous. God declaring us righteous. This Pharisee wanted God to declare him righteous because he said, I'm not an extortioner, I'm not unjust, I'm not an adulterer, and I'm certainly not like this publican. He wanted God to say, all right, I declare you righteous. But he didn't get it. You know who got it? The one that smote upon his breast, would not raise his eyes up to heaven, but said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the one that God justified. You know that's the complete opposite of man? If you'd have set a tribunal of men there and listened to the prayers of these two and said, all right, men, who do you decide to be declared righteous? Well, they said, certainly this man, this righteous man here that's not done all these things and isn't wicked. The other guy admitted he needed mercy. The other guy admitted he wasn't very good. So we would declare the other man righteous. God does the exact opposite. Because whoso exalted himself shall be abased. But he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know how you got saved? By recognizing you were nothing more than a sinner that needed the shed blood of Jesus Christ to wash away your sins and save your soul. That's the story of the publican. I want to give you one last thing as we close. I want to give you some contrast. As I mentioned, the Pharisee is a picture of religion. The publican is a picture of faith. All right? Religion versus faith. And let me get, I don't know where I got these things. I've had this in the front margin of my Bible for years and years, so I don't know where I got it, but I thought it was good, so I'm going to give it to you this morning in conclusion. Religion is based on pride. Faith is based on humility. I mean, just think about it. Religion, no matter what religion it is, it's based on pride. You name all the religions of the world, and they're going to be proud of their accomplishments and what they have done. Where faith is based on humility. That's what the Lord said in verse number 14. Whoso exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Second of all, religion impresses man, but faith impresses God. And isn't that the truth? Religion impresses man. Somebody goes around and wears a black suit And I'm not just talking about Catholics. I'm talking about Orthodox people, European religions, the Orthodox Greeks and all these different ones. They all have their uniform, so to speak, or whatever you want to call it, their garb, and usually greatly adorned, and usually with a big cross of some kind, a Celtic cross for the Europeans or whatever, but all about the appearance, so that people that see them recognize them as a holy man. And religion impresses man, but faith impresses God. You don't have to have the outward adornment. Faith impresses God. Thirdly, religion is self-serving, but faith is God-serving. Religion is self-serving. You get proud of your accomplishments, proud of what you've done, proud of what you've shown as far as your religion, and yet it's so empty and void. But faith is God-serving. Religion will get you through this life, and it does. A lot of people console themselves and comfort themselves in their religion in this life. They look toward eternity and say, I think I'll be okay because look how I live. Look what I do. I'm not as bad as. You know how the whole story goes, just like this Pharisee. And religion will get you through this life, but faith will get you into the next life. Religion can't do that. Religion's a dead end. Religion ends when your life ends. The things that you have accomplished, the things that you have done, come to an end when you die and cannot get you across that Jordan River. But faith gets you into the next life. I tell you, this man went down justified, declared righteous, because he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Whereas the other man, full of himself, full of accomplishments, full of things that would impress everyone that saw him, did not get justified because his religion was a dead end. Faith in Jesus Christ is the only thing. The purpose, the point of the whole parable that Jesus told was simply this, that justification comes by humbling yourself before God, by casting yourself at Jesus' feet, by calling out and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. All my righteousness are as filthy rags. I am undone. All we like sheep have gone astray. But Jesus Christ, by faith, saves those that have called upon His name. There's two categories. There's the lost, and there's the saved. And it's very easy to get into the saved category. It simply comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.